Shabbat Shalom. Before I start, I want to thank you all for inviting me. And I want to just express my really very my excitement, my moral feelings about the many blessings that I have received today. So, Toda Rabba to all of you. And especially to Rabbi Sudendorf for his most exciting blessing. I want to thank especially Rabbi David Lilienthal for initiating this course of Chazanut and bringing me here. I'm sure that all the Chazanim have learned a lot during this course, and each of them advanced according to his or her own abilities or the place where they were standing when they started, and more than that. But the one who learned most from the course is, I'm sure, I. And it is mitalmidai yoter mikulam. It's a proverb in the Mishnah, saying that you always learn from your students more than from anybody else, and it's true. I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot about the unique position of the Dutch community historically, and from the musical point of view, where there are all sorts of meeting points that are here in Holland. And so for me it was a very, very important lesson. I had to study much in preparation for my for the courses, and that was an excellent way to learn a few things that people have forgotten, and we should now think again, how to bring them back to our shuls, and how to integrate new music into the old tradition, so that there is a smooth transition between the old and the new. I want to start the history of Chazanut, or the history of synagogue music in Amsterdam, by an example, a music example. So Hannah, please, number 12. Melody is taken from the Amsterdam tradition, from the Sephardi Portuguese tradition. The custom in a Portuguese synagogue is that the Chazan sings a verse from the Psalms and then goes into the Kaddish. every time he does a Kaddish, especially on Mincha service, he has this verse and then goes into the Kaddish. And the Kaddishim that the Portuguese synagogue has are a very old and venerable tradition that goes back to the establishment of the Portuguese community here in Amsterdam. If you listen carefully, you could hear a melody that is very sentimental in a way romantic. It has some Jewish flavor to it, but it also is much influenced by the surrounding, by the music of, say, Amsterdam in the 18th century. And that is a very interesting feature of the Sephardic music. The Sephardim, to remind you, came here in the 17th century as sons of Maranos, people who did not know anything about the Jewish tradition, but they wanted to reclaim the Jewish tradition, and they established some synagogues. They did not know how to pray, so they sent out for Chachamim, that means the rabbis, from Morocco and from Turkey, from other places, to teach them the tradition. And they taught them what they knew. That was the old Sephardi tradition, as it was modified a little bit in Morocco, or as it was modified in the in Turkey. But these people, the Portuguese, were very open to other influences as well. So you have in the Portuguese tradition a combination of the old Sephardi traditions and some new modern music of the 17th and 18th centuries. In the Sephardic synagogues, there are passages that come from a very old medieval tradition, like Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yinoch, Leolam Evaed. A very old melody. But there are some other melodies, like the one that we heard here. In the 1675, the new big synagogue of the Portuguese community was inaugurated. By that time, Sephardi music in Amsterdam was already well developed. And the community used Jewish and non-Jewish composers to write music for them, for the services. One of the composers was Abraham de Cáceres, who was Jewish, and he was a very gifted musician. He wrote choral pieces for the inauguration of the synagogue in 1675. Melodies like that in triple meter. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, were the most modern kind of musical expression. And that was sung in the synagogue on this occasion. In addition to that, they had some special arias that were sung, especially on Simchat Torah, and on other very festive occasions. On Simchat Torah, the celebration in the Portuguese synagogue was enormous. They had two sofas, which they still have until this day, next to the Aron Kodesh, next to the Heichal, what they call Heichal, the ark, on which the Chatan Torah and Chatan Bereshit, the honorees of Simchat Torah, were sitting with the Torah scrolls. And for these Chatanim, they sang cantatas. Some of the cantatas were performed in the service itself, and other cantatas were performed after the services, that means on Mosai Simchat Torah, where a huge procession would take Chatan Bereshit and Chatan Torah from the synagogues to their home. So, in order to perform these ceremonies, they hired one of the most influential composers of that time, Lidarti, Giovanni Cristiano Lidarti. Now, Giovanni Cristiano Lidarti is not a very Jewish name. Now, Lidarti was from northern Italy, and he was a very famous composer at his time in northern Italy. Then he decided to immigrate to Amsterdam. When he was in northern Italy, he already composed cantatas for the synagogues in some northern Italian cities. And his cantatas were very successful. And his experience with Hebrew text was such that the community in Amsterdam hired him, and he wrote some cantatas for Simchat Torah and for other occasions. One of his famous pieces is an Alleluia, Kol HaNeshama. Kol HaNeshama, Kol HaNeshama, etc. It was a very long long piece for soloist, accompanied by musical instruments. In addition to that, he wrote an oratorio, Esther, which was actually based on some non-Jewish oratorios, but it was written entirely in Hebrew and was presented to the Portuguese community in this language, in Hebrew. So, there was a great wealth of music, from the very simple melodies, fashionable melodies of the time, to the great cantatas. To remind you again of a melody that you know from the Portuguese tradition, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai Be'rachnu Chemi Be'Adonai El Adonai V'ya'er Lanu. Now this is written in I know that you know. Now this melody is an 18th century, maybe 17th century, but probably early 18th century melody, which is totally in major, in a major mode. That's not very typically Jewish. We Jews don't always like the extreme major kind of mode. We always want a way to twist it a little bit and to maybe diminish it in one way or another. But this one is in major mode. But if you go to the Hallel, and you listen to another melody, you see how it is really based on a combination of these major scale melodies and a Jewish twist to that. And I refer here to Otcha Ki Anitani. Otcha Ki Anitani Votehi Lishua Otcha Ki Anitani Votehi Lishua. This is quite unusual in the kind of European tradition. Very Jewish in the approach. So the melodies of these Portuguese tradition became well known in other places. First of all, because of the immigration of the Portuguese Jews to places as far as Suriname and New York. They established their communities there, and the music went with them. But most important for us, as a liberal community which is based mostly on the Ashkenazi tradition, is the fact that the Portuguese Jews established a congregation in Hamburg, Germany. And the congregation in Hamburg, Germany, was not very far from the newly founded 19th century Reform congregation of Germany, Jewish Reform congregation. And there was a big problem that the Reform synagogues faced. In the Ashkenazi tradition, there was hardly any congregational singing before the 19th century. People mumbled their prayers. And everybody sang at their own pace. It created a beautiful sound, a kind of a cloud of various sounds. And if you go to a very traditional synagogue until this day, you can hear that kind of sound. But in the 19th century, that was considered a complete no-no. I mean, you cannot have this kind of a disorder in sound. And indeed, in German parlance, when you say something about the Synagoge, you mean a complete disorder. So that's how it looked for the Germans, and that is how it looked also for the German Jewish community of the emancipation. So they wanted to establish a new way of singing, which would be regularized and more educated, that everybody will sing together. But how do you do that? Well, first of all, what they did is they installed an organ to control the singing. And second, they borrowed from the Protestant church all sorts of chorales, which they sang with new words, Jewish words. But another way was to borrow melodies from the Portuguese synagogue. So they were very clever at that time, and not only did they borrow the melodies, but they borrowed the chazan as well. And so chazan Mildola went into the, it was the chazan of Portuguese synagogue. He was offered a good job in the Reformed temple, and he came with the melodies. And the one thing which distinguished the Sephardi community from the Ashkenazi community was that everybody sang in rhythm together. So they borrowed these melodies, and they borrowed the style of singing, and introduced them into the synagogue. And this is how we have our first congregational songs in the Ashkenazi community in the modern times. So one of the melodies that you know is El Nora Lila. El Nora Lila, El Nora Lila, Amtsila nu mechila, Bishat Hanela. And that was borrowed, and this is how we sing it today in our Reform synagogues, and it went to Reform synagogues all over the world. Another melody is Lechu neranena l'Adonai Nari haletzur ishenu nekat mafana Vekodak bizmirov nari anon, which we take from Lewandowski's writing. Lewandowski published a book called Kol Rinah Utfila, and there Lechu Neranena is published in this way, but he never acknowledged the fact that he really borrowed it from the Portuguese tradition of Hamburg and through the Reform movement. So the influence of the Portuguese tradition was very important in the Reform movement, and many little pieces that you may hear are in effect have some traces of these influences. So the highlight of the Portuguese synagogue was in the 18th century. And during the 19th century, it became stagnated a little bit, this whole tradition. Somehow the Baroque tradition was not followed, and there were only some attempts to establish the music by Chazanim, who created a choir which is called Santo Servizio. So if you go to the Portuguese synagogue, you see an area on, when you enter the synagogues, on the left side, there is a place where the Santo Servizio choir was standing, and still is standing because they try to revive it every time, time and again. And they sing their music. Some melodies from the Santo Servizio tradition were adopted by other congregations. However, the Santo Servizio kind of singing had an influence on another Sephardi congregation in Italy, and that was in Livorno. The Livorno had a Sephardic synagogue, still has a big Sephardic synagogue, a very modern for the time in the 19th century. And they had an organ, they had composers who specialized in various pieces that would be ceremonial, highly ceremonial pieces. And one of the pieces that we heard today from the Livorno tradition was the Mizmor LeDavid Havul Adonai Bnei Elim. Havul Adonai Bnei Elim, Havul Adonai Kavod Va'oz, Havul Adonai Kevod Shemo, Yishtach Havul Adonai Be'adav Kodesh, Kol Adonai Alamai El HaKavodim, Adonai Almayim, Almayim Rahavim, Kol Adonai, etc. So, this song is a Livorno tradition under the influence of the Sephardi Portuguese tradition of Amsterdam. Of course, another synagogue was London, Bismarck's synagogue, which developed its own tradition based on Amsterdam. And They created special psalmodic singing. Psalmodic meaning sounds being sung in a very old manner, but this was created anew for the Bevismark synagogue.
Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu l'Elohei ha'Elohim ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu l'Adonai ha'Adonim ki le'olam chasdo. Lo oseh niflaot gedolot levado ki le'olam chasdo. Am shevet v'mshevet ha'yom ki le'olam chasdo.
Etc. So, the Bevismark synagogue preferred this old style of the Amsterdam synagogue to the newer style. So we can go on and on about the this tradition of Amsterdam and its importance, but we need to move to the Ashkenazi side of the tradition. Ashkenazim started moving to Amsterdam at the beginning of the 17th century, actually. Some of them were even before the Portuguese here. And they created very small synagogues in private homes. But we know that they started having Hazanim as of 1635. The first Hazan, the first Ashkenazi Hazan, in a makeshift synagogue, in an apartment that they had, was Anshul Rod. And he brought with him the tradition from southern Germany. So the tradition of southern Germany was the basic tradition of the Ashkenazim in Amsterdam. But the Ashkenazi community of Amsterdam was not, say, uniform. It was not monolith. There were many people who came from various places, especially from Poland. And from the very beginning, you have influences of Polish music into the Ashkenazi synagogue tradition. So, in 1700, came here a Chazan who was very famous in Lublin, Poland. And his name was Michael ben Natan. Michael ben Nosen in the Ashkenazi pronunciation. And Michael was accepted here in Amsterdam with great honors. They had celebrations for weeks when he came. There are portraits of him made by various painters. He brought in the Polish tradition. And the Polish tradition meant that you have a combination of the southern German old Nusach and some melodies which are Polish by nature, or they remind us a little bit of Hasidic music. One of the greatest cantors of the of this tradition was Shalom Friede. Shalom Friede was a Chazan in Amsterdam for many, many years, 1809 to 1854. And he tried to get these two contradictory, so to speak, directions under one kind of music. He left us manuscripts of music that he wrote, and they are very, very interesting. But they are written in one line, and apparently there were other singers singing with him, with Shalom Friede. That was the tradition that was brought from Germany and from Eastern Europe. And the tradition is called Chazan, bass, zinger. There was a trio of three people, a chazan, a cantor, singing, accompanied by a bass singer, and a zinger, which usually meant a boy, a young singer. And the chazan would sing the prayers, but when the chazan needed to do something really very artistic, then he was helped by these singers. I'll give you an example, and you're going to help me. The chazan would improvise on a text, let's say, for instance, from Kabbalat Shabbat, on one of the psalms of Kabbalat Shabbat. And this side, no, I'm sorry. Right, no, okay. This side is going to be the bass. And you're going to sing one note. Okay? You're going to sing, you're going to be the singer. Okay, now, don't sing very loud because you need to hear me too. So, together. Yismechu ha-shomayim v'sogil oretz yiram hayom yiram hayom imroi day ve'yoshvei bo ne'oroi tzimcha uko yachad horim yeraneinu. So the chazan would improvise like that, and the bass and singer would give him the tone, what we call it, the drone, a drone note. And that would carry on for a while. Then, if the chazan ended a phrase, now you sing, Yeraneinu, you sing, Yeraneinu, Yeraneinu. That is called a response. They would give a response to the chazan after when he finished a sentence like that. Now, in addition to that, the bass used to have a special melodies for expressing the bass quality. For instance, for the slichot, you would hear a melody like Lishmo al Lishmo el Harina, Lishmo al Lishmo el Harina. That would, be a very virile kind of a singing, which would open a piece. That was called a shtele. A shtele is when the bass starts and a piece like that, and the chazan then improvises on it. Or now the zinger on the other end would have some very light melodies, and in addition to that they would do some theatrics. They would imitate musical instruments, like the singer would imitate a flute, the bass would say bom 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 bom, would imitate a bass player in the synagogue, and they would make all sorts of grimaces in the synagogue. That's why, because of that, many of the congregations and the rabbis hated them. They just couldn't stand that kind of singing. But most we need to finish. Okay, 5 minutes. So it was a very special kind of singing. So we have the manuscripts of Shalom Frieder, and it has only one line of the melody, and we don't know exactly how did the other singers relate to that melody. So in my work in constructing the Amsterdam tradition, which I started even before my work here, I took a Kaddish melody by Shalom Frieder and reconstructed it the way I thought it was accompanied by the singers. So here is the reconstruction. That's on the stick. Yeah, Kaddish. No, it's on the stick. On the. Okay, so it's just named. No, it's not in the on the stick. You should say Kaddish. Okay, so it goes. If you can find another one, like I'm using the water.
No, sorry. I'm fine. I can't see it so well. But.
Okay, so the melody goes. The chazan goes. He's God, and the bass goes. He's God, he's God, he's God. The singers had to insert a melody, so I reconstructed the melody from the Kaddish, and it goes down bam 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 ba ra ba ra ba da la 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 which in were inserted into the Kaddish. The tradition of inserting melodies like that in the prayers was a very important part of this singing of the Chazan, Bas, and Zingel. They would go on and on, like for instance on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Aleinu Leshabeach, the great Aleinu, which we sing, Aleinu Leshabeach. Ah, no, they wouldn't sing it this way. They would go, if we can find it, then we'll
just starting up. Okay.
So, as I said, this kind of singing was criticized severely by the rabbis and by some people who thought that it was a little bit overdone. And very much over then, and services were very long, of course, because of that. And finally, this whole singing of Chazan, Bas, and Zingel was diminishing, and actually came. our goal is. You can hardly hear the bass in this, unfortunately. No response. No support for the chazan. Now the typical melodies, they come from Eastern Europe tradition. So it gives you an example of how that was, and that kind of singing took place here. Yeah, and that means not here exactly, but in Amsterdam, in the Ashkenazi shul, until the middle of the 19th century. But during the beginning of the 19th century, the emancipation started in Germany. And people were a little bit ashamed of this kind of singing, as they were ashamed of the big, noisy kind of atmosphere in the synagogue. And therefore, new tides came in, where a modernized, orderly kind of singing of the choir replaced this kind of singing. On the other installment of my lecture. Toda rabba. Thank you.